Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Natal Naturopath Podcast. I'm your host, Melanie, and today we're going to be talking about the five different types of PMS. Oh, PMS. Who hasn't experienced this one time or another in their life as a female? I know I have had my battles with it on and off for years. It's something that anytime my stress levels go too high or I'm too run down, it shows up for me in a hormonal way. I just have such a strong link between my stress levels and like my feelings of being burnt out or worn out and my emotions linking to my hormones. And it's a constant thing for me. It's something that I constantly have to, I'm not going to say battle, I'm going to say monitor. I need to always monitor my hormones and just be on top of them. I'm not someone that can just like menstruate every month and never think about my hormones. That is not the case. Not at all. I go through periods of time where my PMS can be really significant, or it can be completely gone and I'm totally fine for many, many months. Or like through COVID in 2021, I had six straight months where every time I'd get my period, I would get the feelings of having the flu and a really severe cold sore. And it was a battle to try to figure out what was going on for me. And it's really hard to treat yourself as a naturopath. Like, ask any clinician. It is so hard to see what's going on for you. So I enlisted the help of a naturopath. I had him on my podcast. Stephen, we did a podcast episode actually on period flu, PMDD, histamine and the menstrual cycle. So that was episode 15, if you wanted to go and have a listen to that. And I spoke about my period flu because that's what it's called. It's called period flu. You get severe feelings of being unwell at the time of having your period. So that was what I was having. Then I've had just standard PMS where I hated everyone. I was exhausted. I didn't want to exercise. I was, you know, you want to eat more. You're not sleeping well. Mine is more the mental health side is affected. Absolutely. Like it's the emotional symptoms that show up for me. Whereas in 2021, it was more physical symptoms that were showing up for me. Like my whole body would ache, like I had the flu and things like that. My next podcast episode next week is actually going to be on PMDD. So premenstrual dysphoric disorder. So please listen into that because they are two distinct reproductive conditions. They are not the same thing. So today I'm going to be going through the five different types of PMS. So PMS, premenstrual syndrome, refers to the collection of physical, emotional, and or behavioral symptoms that occur in the days or weeks preceding menstruation. Happens in so many women. The symptoms are generally mild to moderate in intensity and do not tend to significantly impair daily functioning. That's the classification if you look it up, like the medical label of PMS. I would tend to disagree in that it can impair your daily functioning, but it is not going to be the significant impairment of your functioning. If it is, that's PMDD. I mean, tell anyone with PMS that it didn't impact their daily functioning, they'll slap you. Like, I've had PMS and it really affected my day. I was really, really teary. I cried a lot. This is not a one instance. This is my pattern. I tend to cry a lot more. I feel a lot of doom. I feel really hopeless, very, very anxious, and all of that can impact my functioning, and it absolutely does. I also feel like having children has shone a spotlight on my PMS because the way I used to deal with my PMS prior to kids was just, you know, retreat into my little dark hole. I would take it easy. I would say no to things. I would not do much and I would just chill. I would relax and chill. And if I had things on like work, uni, whatever, I would complete that. And then I would just relax. And now with three kids, It is shit. I do not have the ability to rest or be alone. And I have three kids in my face triggering me nonstop when I have zero patience. I find that the biggest challenge is like having to push through when I feel that way. It's really hard. And I don't get to just check out of my life like I maybe was able to before kids. So it does impact my functioning and it impacts my mothering. I'm going to say the times where I find mothering the hardest is always before my period or at the start of my period. The times that I find mothering most easy and I thrive, it is always after my period finishes, before that first week before your period. So it's like if my menstrual cycle is broken up into 4 weeks, week one is my period. Halfway through that, I feel normal again. Week two and three, I'm amazing. I feel fantastic. The best Melanie comes out. I have the highest motivation. I can exercise. I can fly around and do so much. I'm so productive, so happy, so positive, have a great libido for the most part. Parent really well. Parenting's easy. Love the kids. Love life. Week four is like a totally different human. And this is not always. It's just sometimes I get like that. And like I said, it's correlated to my stress levels. And when I see that happening, I really get onto it because I know the things. So I can treat myself really quite easily with my supplements, my herbs and things like that. But if I didn't have that knowledge, then I assume it would just drag on and on and on. All right. I went on a tangent there. The five subcategories of PMS include PMSA. So this is anxiety-related PMS. Women with PMSA often experience feelings of nervousness, restlessness, tension, and irritability. They might have difficulties concentrating and have a very, very increased sensitivity to stress, me, and could even develop panic attacks or other anxiety-related conditions during the premenstrual phase. So it's right before your period. Could get physical symptoms, and the physical symptoms are very related to anxiety symptoms, insomnia, gastrointestinal disturbances, feeling sick in their stomach, their bowels being a bit overactive, things like that. So this PMS type is very much surrounding those neurotransmitters, and it's thought to be modulated by GABA and serotonin. So those two neurotransmitters directly impacting being impacted on by your hormones. PMSC. So PMSC involves intense food cravings and appetite changes. So women with PMSC often experience a really strong desire for carbs and sweets, and those cravings could also be accompanied by just your general PMS symptoms like mood swings, fatigue, bloating, and weight gain. The hormonal fluctuations of the premenstrual phase with women with PMSC, they're going to be contributing potentially to the dysregulation of the neurotransmitters involved in appetite control, resulting in these food craving symptoms. And it's really interesting. Some women with PMS don't experience food cravings at all, and others, it's like, I cannot stop thinking about carbs. I myself don't tend to get food craving symptoms. I just eat a lot more. I just feel more hungry in general. But yeah, that I feel like that's something that crosses over with lots of people with PMS experience cravings. It doesn't have to mean you're just in category C. So when I'm talking about these subcategories, what I really want to make known is that you don't have to be boxed into one. You could have a bit from every category, or you might be very strongly in one category. What I would tend to say is a helpful way to know which one you have would just be figuring out what is my most prevalent symptom? What is the strongest symptom that impacts me the most? And then what is that going to be? Which category does that sit in? So PMSA, it would be anxiety. PMSC, it's cravings. PMSD is depression, depressive symptoms. PMSD, women with this experience, their strongest symptoms are going to be feelings of sadness, hope, hopelessness, worthlessness, a loss of interest or pleasure in anything that they used to enjoy, might have difficulty concentrating, experience changes in their appetite, sleep patterns, and just feel so flat, just flat and just in a dark hole and just shit. Everything is shit. The hormonal changes occurring during the menstrual cycle, do influence serotonin. Estrogen and serotonin are so, so linked. And so this is what contributes to the development of these depressive symptoms, is that when you have low estrogen, you are very, very likely to have low serotonin, low free serotonin. So there's that link. And you know, when you have a baby, those first 6 weeks after post-birth, you will have the lowest serotonin levels that you'll ever have in your life. And this correlates to the lowest estrogen levels you will ever have as well. And that huge crash of estrogen after you give birth is directly correlated to the onset of baby blues and then the emotions that go with it. So very linked, estrogen and serotonin. PMSH is known as fluid retention PMS. So bloating, breast tenderness, weight gain, swellings of the hands or feet, and abdominal distension. So this is thought to be related to the hormones that do sort of correlate to the fluid balance within the body. And PMSH is when we would see the most amount of fluid retention. So again, it can be to do with estrogen, it could be stress, low magnesium. But the biggest sign is the fluid retention. I'm just trying to think what H stands for. I think it's hydration. And a lot of discomfort from these physical symptoms of fluid retention and low self-esteem associated, because you feel like you look pregnant, you may feel like you've gained weight, it's actually the fluid, but you might not fit into your clothes, you might not look the way you normally do. This could correlate to feelings of low self-esteem at that time as well. Now, PMSP is characterized as significant pain symptoms during the premenstrual phase. This is what I had in 2021, because pain was the number one symptom I had. And then cold sores as well. Women with PMSP may experience various types of pain, including headaches, migraines, backaches, muscle aches. Your muscles will hurt, and then your joints might really hurt, so joint pain as well. These symptoms are often associated with increased sensitivity to pain and, again, influenced by hormones and then inflammatory changes in the body. So there might be an excessive amount of inflammation, and estrogen is not helping that situation. But the pain experienced in PMSP can really be severe and disruptive, and it really can affect your ability to carry out normal daily activities. I remember I would feel so unwell that I could barely move off the bed or the couch because everything hurt. And I just felt so out of it and really foggy, because when we have inflammation, what will show up is feeling out of it and brain fog, because the inflammation is going to be traveling through the blood-brain barrier. It's going to be affecting cognition. So I'd feel really out of it, really, really brain foggy, just like when you've got the flu. You know, when you've got the flu, you do feel out of it. And that's how I felt. So there's the five categories. Again, I just went through them to show you, or to explain, that PMS doesn't always look a certain way. But what I do want to highlight is that you don't have to be just in one category. Like I mentioned, you may have bits and pieces from each category, but your number one symptom would probably tell me which category you are in, the majority category. How do I say that? Anyway, you know what I mean. But if you wanted extra help with PMS, please reach out to us. We see clients in the clinic constantly for PMS. It's a really, really, really common condition that women want help with. And once we figure out what's going on, what pathways need addressing, what hormones need balancing, what nutrients you need, it's pretty fixable. And so we get really, really good results. And then you find your period coming and you had no idea it was arriving. And that's really how it should be. It should be like that for everyone. You should just go, oh, my period, I know my period's due this week because I tracked my period, but I wouldn't have a clue because I don't feel anything and I don't feel any different. And I would love that for all of you. And I would love that for myself. I don't always have that either. Sometimes I know, oh my God, I'm so different to how I was last week. My period must be coming. And you sort of just wait and wait and wait because you just want it to come. Because by day two or three, I'm feeling like on the up again. Women, we are such beautiful fluctuating beings. Men are just so much more linear and stable, aren't they? All right. Well, I hope that was helpful. Please share this with a friend or a family member that might have some sort of nugget out of it that they find to be useful. But yeah, reach out to us. And if you're not following me on Instagram, please come over and say hi at The Natal Naturopath. Have a lovely week, and I will speak to you next time.